Well, dealing with money and self-denial is like talking about going out to have a good time, but taking only a book or something. You know, it's one of those things that doesn't seem like that's possible to deal with the two things. Now, frankly, what I'm dealing with, trying to get you to understand, is this concept of self-denial, because this, perhaps above most other areas that the Bible talks about, is misunderstood, misapplied by false religions and by errant Christian belief, and then show you the connection between this and our responsibility with money. Now, three passages that make it very clear, and I really don't like the term self-denial, but there's no getting around it. Notice the verses. Matthew 16, 24, 25, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," disciples being those who have chosen to follow him. Hopefully that's you. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross," that's to the death, "and follow me. For whosoever will save his life for himself shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Mark 8, 34. "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And again then in Luke 9, 23. "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We see that in the Matthew passage, he was talking to the disciples, those who had already made the decision to follow him. In the Mark passage, he speaks to the people who came to hear him speak, as well as his disciples, encouraging them to continue on, but introducing to the wider audience this concept, how to become a disciple. Not just a hearer, not just a lingerer, not just a visitor, but a disciple. And then in Luke 9, he broadens it out to everybody. Here is what God wants of us, whether you choose to follow it or not. Let me begin then by looking at self-denial explained. As I say, there are many people who misunderstand this, and they put self at the forefront of this thing of self-denial. And this is opposite the point of it. So let's look at it negatively. Seven things. It is not to deny what you are or have. That would be falsehood. This is false humility. See? Are you particularly smart? You don't have to act like you're not. Are you particularly good with this talent, that ability? You don't have to pretend you're not. That's not self-denial. That's falsehood. Number two, it is not denying your external blessings. Has God given you much? You don't have to be ashamed of that. You should see them as coming from God, just not giving self the credit for it. Number three, it is not denying that you do good things. Acknowledge, however, that this comes from God through grace. If there's anything good that I have done, anything good that I think, anything good that I might do, it's because God has worked through me. And so when I am praised, I feel quite secure in saying, well, praise God. It's not so much praise me, praise God that he was willing to do this through me, if I find there's some good thing I've done. Number four, it is not belittling yourself. This actually denies the work of God in you. This is that thing, oh, well, just me, you know. This is not what self-denial is all about. Number five, it is not being careless or antagonistic toward your life, your health, or your family. Now, we're going to get into this where we're pressing this a little bit, but it's not about being careless. That's not self-denial. Number six, it is not thinking of your body as evil. This goes back to Plato and false Greek religions. God created your body, and it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the church saying, you are a temple. So we ought to treat the temple of the body with respect, not counting it as evil, not trying to beat it with whips or cut it with knives or throw itching powder on you, whatever, you know, just that's not it. And then number seven, it is not abusing your body in any respect. That's not self-denial. That's just false thinking, false religion. What is it then positively? The summary is this. Self-denial focuses on loving service to God and others instead of self. Self-denial is not putting self as some paragon of power and virtue and I can take it and that type of thing. This is forgetting self, turning from self, looking to God, doing what you can for Him, and then, as He said, love your neighbor, even as you already know how to love yourself. See? So a self-denying man submits to God's will. It is not your will. All of the great speakers that try to urge you to do better and all this, they're talking about the power of your will, and if you give into it, you'll succeed and all this stuff. And God says, I'd like for you to focus on what I would like for you to do. That'll make you a lot smarter, a lot better, a lot more comfortable. Do the right thing as I understand it. So submit your will to God's will. The self-denying man seeks God's will first and then seeks earthly gain and safety only secondarily. If your life is at risk, but that's the only way for you to serve God, for you to honor God's will, then you put your life at risk, you see. You don't do the self-denial to put yourself at risk. You don't increase the risk in some vain thought of self-denial. You are seeking to do God's will first. Our pastor, Miru, an example of that. When God said, tell the world about me, and in doing that, put him subject to punishment in prison and so on, he said, well, then I've just got to do what God says. The apostles said, you judge whether we should obey man or God. And that's the concept of doing God's will. A third thing is he is emotionally ready. He's prepared his heart. He's emotionally ready at any time to give back to God any of his gifts. Everything that you have been given. We sang that song. Everything you have has been given by God. None of it actually is yours. It has been lent you by God. He never intended you to have it forever, except for salvation, the things of the Spirit. One mother said, the only thing that God ever gives me in this life that I can take with me are my children, as Pastor Porter was talking about. And even then, the life of your child is a gift of God. People that think they're okay to turn against God because he allowed their child to die, they don't realize that the child was never theirs. God speaks of those children as his children. So become emotionally ready at any time to give back to God any of his gifts. That would be submitting to God. And then he is ready, when needed, to offer everything he has for God's glory. This is self-denial. Let's get into this. It means that you are going to submit your body, soul, and spirit. So first of all, submitting your soul. The best way for me to express the soul, Pastor Porter has done a little more scientifically, the idea of you being able to think and understand that all the things that make you a human being, that's your soul, rather than a plant, an animal, and that type of thing. So I summarize it by your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, not the brain, that's part of the body, but the mind that uses the brain. The mind, the will, the ability to choose what you choose, and the emotions, how you feel about things, what you love, what you hate, emotions. So submitting your soul, first of all, your mind. It is self-denial when you do not trust your own reasoning to guide your life. The mistake they made in the time of the Enlightenment was they didn't need to hear preachers, and they equated that with the Bible. We can make up our own mind. Well, that didn't turn out too well. All of their scientific things ended up hurting people, damaging families. Proverbs 3:5 tells us this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Self-denial says, I'm not going to trust my own understanding. I'm too little. I'm too restricted in time. I'm too restricted in what I can know, what I can perceive. God knows everything. Everything. So I will trust in Him with all my heart. Heart's another term that basically means soul. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Here, heart is related to the mind. Not only your mind, but your will, how you choose. It is self-denial when God's will, what God wants in your life, is more important than your own will, what you want in your life. Self-denial says, if God wants this, then it doesn't matter so much what I want. Luke 22:41-42. And he, Jesus, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove. If you are willing to remove this cup from me, Jesus is praying in the garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not what I choose, not what I would desire. He's saying this at the cost of his very life, and much more, actually. And so must we. We will settle for what God wants rather than what we want. And then your emotions. We need to be self-denying concerning our emotions. You do what's right because it's right, not because you particularly like it. Or you do even something that's distasteful to you if God asks you to. You're not automatically saying no because you don't like it. You deny self when you choose to love only what God loves. And you choose to hate only what God hates. You're not allowed. You are not, as a disciple of Christ, you are not allowed to choose what you love and hate. We're to merge into Him, love what He loves, hate what He hates. Bigotry, racial hatred, these things have no place in the Christian's life. These are just ridiculous concepts. Somehow, color of your skin or your background, your ethnicity makes you better, worse. It's ridiculous. Listen to 2 Chronicles 19:2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, said to King Jehoshaphat, here's the challenge to the king. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Let me just wax political. My wife and I went downtown to see a show. We were given tickets by my children for Christmas. Went downtown to see the magic show, and several of them actually. And we were rerouted around a group of people downtown. And we could tell, and the news was explaining, that these were people that gathered together in the name of womanhood to support the killing of babies, the right to kill your baby. There are many mysteries of womanhood that I admire. Angie Tunis does those miraculous things with needles and thread and stuff. Did you see her daughter's hairdos today? Amazing magic. Beautiful stuff. The proper seasoning for foods, just amazing woman stuff. I am thrilled with that. But killing your babies, I don't think it fits. The stand to bring terrorists into our country unopposed, it doesn't sound like womanhood to me. Should thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Let's think about this. Don't get pressured into this thing of the world. We have to take that liberal stand or we're just not intelligent or something. Don't go that way. Psalm 97:10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Pretty clear. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So we ought to hate evil. We ought to hate whatever is opposed to God. Not only your soul, but your mind. Not only your mind, but your body, submitting your body. There is a part of self-denial that submits the body. Part of that is restraining your body from serving sin. Get the leash on that body and hold it back. You don't let it run free and do whatever feels good. Romans 6, 12 and 13. Let not, permit not sin, therefore, to reign, to be in control in your mortal body, that you should obey it, the body, in the lust thereof. desires that go beyond what God wants, that's lust of all kinds. He says, don't let sin be in control. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't give in to sin. Don't let it take over your body. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, hands, feet, tongue, mind, as instruments, even weapons, the word means, of righteousness unto God. Make them God's tools. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't set yourself up for the fall. Don't offer to your body that which it wants in defiance of God's will. Again, seeking only the honor that comes from God. You go into a situation where to be honored, you have to defy God. Then don't go there. Seek only the honor that comes from God. Remember Moses, Acts 7:23, when he, Moses was full 40 years old, which was only the first third of his life. It came into his heart to visit the brethren, his brethren, the children of Israel. He was related to the king, to the Pharaoh. Now he's going to visit his brethren. He acknowledges them as his family. Hebrews 11, 25, 26. In doing this, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He evaluated it on the long term and says, what will be better for me when I stand before God in heaven? In my eternal life to come, what will be better for me? To bear the reproaches of God's people here? Or just enjoy sin for that little time that I'm on this earth? And he chose the people of God. Again, valuing Christ over worldly riches. It's widely known that people who go all out for wealth can't live a simple, decent Christian life. There are things that must be done. There are people that must be hurt. There are loving actions that must be denied. This is our money connection. This is where we come to the place where we say it's God over money. Listen to Matthew 4, 20 and 20, 22. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Who were these people? Fishermen. That was their livelihood. And at the word of Christ, come follow me. They left their livelihood and followed him. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Matthew 9, 9. Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, not that one, sitting at the receipt of custom. He was one of the hated publicans. And he said unto him, follow me. Leave your wealth gathering job. And he arose and followed him. That's what a disciple does. Matthew 19, 16, 21 to 22. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Well, after he talked to him for a while, Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. He doesn't tell everybody this, but he told him this because he knew that was the problem he needed to overcome. Sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And then, be like the rest of us poor people, come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? He had great possessions. And he had to choose one or the other. Again, leaving dearest friends or family at God's call. If God moves upon you to go as a missionary to some foreign place, you have to leave the comforts of home, the comforts of family, comforts of the food you normally eat, all these strange things. You become the stranger in a strange land. But if you find you can't quite get away from that, you better do it. Abraham left his native land of Ur, of the Chaldees, at God's command, left family, friends, left everything familiar. Luke 14, 26, if any man come unto me, Jesus said, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You say, Christ wants us to hate these people? Well, Matthew, talking about it as Christ was to talk about it later, explains this concept of hate as only a relative thing. I'm not talking about relation, I'm talking about relatively hate. Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me, that's what he means by hate, is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is where I love them and I love God. If he calls me to leave them, I'm just going to stay here with them. Then you love them more. That's hating God over your family. Now, risking your health and safety to serve your Lord. Now, this needs to be a clear leading of God. This needs to be something in the Word of God or something in what you've committed to Him. This is not, you know, me or another pastor or a church saying, you have to be here on this night to do this or do that. If that risks your life, you say, sorry, not that night. When John the Baptist was taken to prison, the scripture tells us that Jesus saw that, and that's when he left Judah and went up to Galilee. The connection is pretty clear. Things were getting dangerous where he was. And so to serve the will of God, he left. He went to a safer place. So how is it we're risking your health and safety to serve the Lord? Well, Epaphroditus is an example of this. We read of him, Philippians 2, 25, 27. Paul's writing to the home church in Philippi, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger." Epaphroditus had been sent by the church to help out Paul. He says, I'm sending him back. He's not a bad worker. He that ministered to my wants. So he came to help Paul. He felt led to do that. The church felt led to send him, gave him the care package, whatever it was. And he says, here's why I'm sending him back. For he longed after you all. He missed you. And was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he had been sick. Why was he so concerned about the church at home? They heard he was sick. The travel had got to him. Had some bug, alien bug got in him, you know. And he got sick. And he found out that they found out, and now he was worried about them, worrying about him. For indeed, he was sick. He was sick nigh unto death, Paul says. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me also. I have that on my conscience. The man came to help me and died in that, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Here is a man on the course of doing what God had called him to do, and he got sick unto death. That was a hazard, you see, of such work. You're out of your familiar food and water. Change of the water to a different place can affect your health. He got sick and almost died. But he felt that was okay. Self-denial. Aquila and Priscilla. Romans 16, 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And right now they weren't in danger, it seems. But he says, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all of the churches of the Gentiles. The benefit of what they have done is so great that everybody's thankful for them. And they risk their lives. This was in the context of going places where Christianity was hated. This was in the context of helping out the great missionary Paul when he was being persecuted, when Christianity was being attacked. They laid their own necks down as if the guillotine guy was ready to take their lives. And they said, well, what we're doing is more important. And God protected them, but he doesn't always protect. Sometimes you become the martyr. So self-denial then weighs the thing of God greater than even your own health and safety. Again, refusing to compromise your faith, even to protect your life. The, who is it, Falstaff and the, who is that, Shakespeare? And he's the guy who says, I'll run away from the battle so I can live to fight another day. You know, and you have the excuse for your cowardice. Matthew 16, 24, 25, Jesus puts it down to this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, the thing that you die on, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If the decisions are made to save your life, then you've lost the whole purpose of that life. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We need to come to that place where it's all about him and about serving him. Let me close with a second point, and that is self-denial encouraged. Denying yourself is so contrary to our fleshly nature. Let's take a few moments to encourage ourselves in the duty. Let me share with you five things. Remember, Christ commanded it. Putting his goal above yours. The serving, having a life of service to him more than a life of service to yourself. He commanded it. Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. Not what you want. It's not for you to decide. It's for him. Then remember that Christ exemplified it. He walked that way before you. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind, let this way of thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of thinking is this? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But, though he was God, made himself of no reputation. This is the word meaning he emptied himself to come to earth. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion, or habit as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. I gave my life for thee, we sang a few moments ago. And his life was more important than any of our lives. And yet to him at that moment, he said, I will give my life that they can live. This is God's will. This is self-denial. Christ exemplified it. And a little bit of thinking. The heroic believers exemplified it. Abraham, we mentioned that he left his home, his family, his heritage. Moses stepped away from the position of privilege to share affliction with the people of God. Old Testament saints, martyrs, the apostles of God, every one of them meeting their death in service to God. These were people who put God's way first. Will it be said in the days to come that you were one of God's heroes? Only if you put him first. Again, obeying self-desire makes self your God. When the only thing you will obey is self, then self is your God. What a puny God. What a short-lived God. What an evil God. 2 Corinthians 5, second part of verse 14 and 15. If one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he, Christ, died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Not for themselves, but for him. This is self-denial. Romans 14, 7 and 8. For none of us as Christians liveth to himself. It's not all about us. And no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Whatever may come, it's about him. And lastly, choosing to preserve self is an illusion. Well, I didn't have any choice. I had to deny Christ. I had to disobey. I had to do the wrong thing. Because I could have died. Preserving your life, that's an illusion. Matthew 16, 25, 26. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. You've lost everything important about your life when you deny him. For whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. Make up your mind that if the time comes where you may be martyred, you're ready to go there. For what is man profited? What profit in the end is it? If he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's more important, your eternal being or your present happiness? Philippians 3, 7 and the first part of verse 8. But what things were gained to me, Paul testifies, those I counted loss for Christ. I was trying to save my life, but I lost my life. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. None of this stuff matters. Fame, fortune, what people think of me, I don't care. What he cares, what he thinks of me, that's all I care about. Hebrews 11, 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ or for Christ. That was the testimony of Moses. What did he know? We don't know exactly what he knew. But here it says, under the inspiration of Christ, of God, of the Holy Spirit, that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The coming Messiah, the one that he would prophesy about, he had respect to the recompense of the reward. Hebrews 10, 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. That means when they took your stuff. They took it joyfully. Why would they do that? Why could they be happy even when they entered into that kind of persecution? Knowing in yourselves, or that you have in, or for yourselves, that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You weigh that, you see? You make that choice. Self-denial says, in the long run, I don't want to make a stupid choice here and make it self-serving. All for him. Well, God willing, we learn what it is. That self-denial is turning away from self and wanting what God wants more than what we want. That's it. That's the whole point. And that will even include how we handle our money. What is important with our money? Let's bow for prayer. Father, you turn us to the time to come when we will stand, having experienced our death or the rapture, and We stand before you and there's an eternity of life ahead. And we find that only what is done for you makes any difference in our eternal life. Whether we had a better pair of shoes, whether we had a more important job than somebody else, none of that matters. Help us, Father, to adopt that attitude, seeing the recompense of the reward for our lives now, that what we will see as important then become important to us now. How we use our money now can be evaluated by what we gain then. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if you would say, Pastor, I need the lesson that God gives me today, that it's not about me. It's not about people honoring me, thinking about me, but rather it's about me serving God, and in serving God, serving others. That's where I want to focus, denying self, giving myself entirely to God. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I see that need. I see that need in me. Pray for me. Yes, thank you. Father, then we seek for that which is greater. Not to think through our rationalization, to excuse what we want, to excuse what we desire, to excuse the lust of the flesh. You have promised us, Father, that the way of sin is the way of death. And I ask that you might help us to see that distrusting our own mind, our own heart, we will do it your way. We will just settle on doing it your way. And in that we will reap all of the rewards that you offer us. And when the end comes and we stand before you and everything of our life is evaluated in the light of eternity, we will see we made the right choice. I pray for each one here, and especially those that raised the hand. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.